Well, it is absolutely wonderful to be here. Ola and I have not been in the States in over 4 years. This is our first time back in over 4 years. We kind of waited until things with COVID had settled down, and now we just have an opportunity to come back, be refreshed and refilled ourselves. As you know, February 24th of 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. And in the days after that, in the weeks and the months, we saw well over 1 million Ukrainian refugees flood into Poland. It was an absolutely heartbreaking moment. It was incredibly difficult to watch as mothers with small children stood at borders for days trying to cross. We would go to pick up refugees from train stations, and we would bring them into Warsaw, and they had been standing there for hours upon hours. The trauma that they were experiencing, even as we housed them and cared for them, it was not just having a guest in your home, it was having a traumatized guest in your home. Moms who, in their rush, had packed suitcases and realized they had mismatching socks or they had forgotten certain things that their kids needed. And so, as a church, like many, many other churches throughout Poland, we were immediately mobilized into caring for refugees, which was a part of our ministry that I had never seen coming. That was just not what I believed God had called us to. I will talk more about our ministry, but I want to kind of warn you, prepare you, that this is a little bit different of a service. So if you are visiting today, what I want to do is just highlight a little bit of the impact that Calvary Road is having around the world, and specifically in Poland. I know that as a church, you are passionate about missions. You are passionate about God's kingdom expanding around the world, the gospel getting into unreached places. And we are simply an arm of this church that is able to act on your behalf. And we can do that only because of your prayers and support and partnership in the ministry. I believe that one day, every single person here is going to stand before the Lord, and you will be rewarded for things that happened in Poland that you didn't even realize were a part of your ministry. And so we are just simply here as reporters, but also as a family. And so I want this conversation today to be a heart conversation from our heart as missionaries in Poland to a church that we know loves, cares, and supports us. It is incredibly important for us to communicate that. But I also know that on a Sunday morning, you come in with your own stories and your challenges that you've experienced throughout a week. And I know that you're coming also to be filled spiritually. I believe that every word I can share with you about Poland, it will not do that. It will not fill you spiritually. It's only the Word of God that can do that. And so part of what I want to do today is to pull you into Scripture and share with you some things that I've learned over these past few years that I think can help you also as you live on mission around your world, the people that you care for. I really believe that mission is pretty simple. It's not just what happens across the seas, it's what happens across the street. And I believe that missions is really the planting and the growing of gospel seeds in your life and in the lives of those around you. That's all that mission is. Mission is our task and our responsibility as followers of Christ to plant the gospel in the lives of people around us and then to water that and to allow that to grow. And I believe that's the parables of the kingdom. That the kingdom parables is this gospel kingdom that kind of quietly grows up around us. And soon we begin to realize that lives have changed and marriages have changed and we've changed. And one of the greatest things that God wants to do with mission, it's not just what happens in the lives of others, it's what happens in your own heart. Part of His process of sanctification in your life is you being engaged in mission so that you can learn the heart of Jesus. Because as we get closer and closer to the heart of Jesus, that's what begins to change everything about us. I want to do this by sharing with you today a verse from the book of Acts. I'd like you to open, if you would, to the book of Acts. Because this is a passage that, when it comes to missions, you may have been familiar with. It's not an uncommon verse.
In fact, we even sing a song about it. I have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light.
See, I don't know how you can sit in this church and actually sing music when you have such a beautiful voiced worship leader up here. Like, I sit here and I just want to listen. It's just like, wow, you know, just sing. I'm not that guy, okay? So that's the best you're going to get. But Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is a fascinating verse, little passage, because Paul is on a missionary journey, and as he's on this missionary journey, they keep trying to get into these different unreached regions, these places that need the gospel, but it seems like wherever he goes, he just kind of gets stopped by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dave just mentioned the hotel that we were looking to purchase, and it was one of those things where it felt like it was something we wanted to do. We had a passion to do it. We had people praying for it, ready to engage, not just financially, but also to come and to serve and to work with us so that we could open up a hotel that would house hundreds of refugees. And it just felt like every turn it was just being stopped. It was being drug out by the holdings company that owned the hotel. And we tried, and it just didn't seem to work. And we had to come to the realization that this was just something that God seemed to be stopping. And this is where Paul is in this chapter of Acts. And I'm going to read this to you. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 7, through 10. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the Macedonian call, as it's been titled. It's a supernatural call. It's a supernatural call. It's a call that does not happen. It seems to happen frequently in the Bible, but it is not frequent in human existence and experience. Supernatural calls are very rare for us. When we read the scripture, we have these supernatural calling moments, these moments of a burning bush in Moses, the call of Abraham, the call of Jonah. We read stories about a fleece that Gideon put out where he received a sign. And there are these supernatural things that seem to happen. Even this one here, a vision that says, "Come to Macedonia." We think about Mary and an angel. When we read scripture, sometimes we misunderstand that a call on a believer's life does not have to be a supernatural call. I think many times believers are looking for supernatural calls before they decide to engage in mission, before they decide to engage in ministry. And they're asking God, "If you give me a vision, if you give me a dream, if you send an angel, give me a burning bush, or here's my fleece." But the problem is, God does not work that way most of the time. These are very rare in human experiences. I've never received a supernatural call. And when people ask me, "Tell me about your call to Poland. How did you know you were called to Poland?" Many times what they're asking me is, "Tell me about some supernatural thing that happened where you knew for sure this is where you're supposed to go." And I can tell you this, I didn't know for sure, and I never received a supernatural call. It was just not there. And it wasn't until I was in Poland that I realized there's a second type of call that's more common in human experience and in the scripture, and it's a stewardship call. You and I have been called by Jesus Christ to be stewards of his kingdom. We've been called to be stewards of his gospel. And what happens is sometimes we trade this important stewardship call for our desire to have some supernatural call that finally mobilizes us. And what I want to challenge you today on a spiritual level is you and I, when we come into the kingdom of God, when we have been born again into his kingdom, we have to do a deep inventory of our lives and say, God, these are all of the things that you've given me. These are all the things that I thought I earned on my own, but I didn't earn them. These were gifts that you've entrusted me to be a steward of. My job, my family, my history, my background, my personality, my likes, my dislikes, my interests, my finances. All of these things are simply gifts that God has given us to help direct us as stewards. And he's calling you and I to act and to behave as stewards for his kingdom. And as we become stewards of the kingdom of God, his mission begins to flow through our world. I looked at our lives when we were living in Chicago, and we were wondering, God, what do you want us to do? Do we continue to live in Chicago, or do we move to Poland? And I had to do an inventory. At that time, my wife was struggling. She missed home. Her father was a pastor of the largest evangelical church in Poland. He was transitioning to becoming the head of the denomination. At that time, Ola and I looked at our marriage and we said, you know what? There's one of us that speaks Polish. We have an incredible platform for ministry. God has put within my heart a desire for cultures and a love for change and a flexibility, a personality that's flexible and able to adjust. And so we did an inventory of our life and we said, as stewards, and for me personally as a husband who is stewarding a Polish wife, we concluded, I think God is calling us to relocate and to do missions in Poland. And you of a church, as a church, has partnered with us and you have been a part of that journey for over 12 years, nearly 13 years. And because of your partnership, we have seen God explode his kingdom in so many different ways, in very small ways and in larger ways. I would summarize our ministry in three different things. We focus on helping churches create a culture of discipleship within their church. Many times, churches have outsourced discipleship. They've outsourced it to universities. They've outsourced it to nonprofit organizations, to wonderful organizations. But there is something in the church that God has designed to be a disciple-making factory, to be a place where disciples will grow for his kingdom. And it's being lost in the context of local churches. And we see it in the churches in Poland. And so we do a lot of help working with churches, helping men invest their lives in the lives of a few men, women investing their lives in the lives of a few women so that they can go out and invest their lives. It's a 3-year process, and I would go more into it, but through that, we were able to start a leadership program to help mobilize church planters, and 5 years ago, we planted a church ourselves in the city of Warsaw. And I'm here to tell you that it has been the hardest thing we've ever done. It was so difficult. I believe that after we planted the church, there was so much spiritual attack on this church that Ola and I came to a point where we were depleted, empty, burnout, and trying to figure out how do we take another step forward. It was becoming very difficult. We started the church with a small group of believers that we were invested in, discipling and helping grow towards maturity. We began engaging in this community through prayer, through mission projects. We finally began to meet in a hotel, which was not the easiest place for us to meet, but we slowly began to grow. And as we saw the growth, it seemed like Satan was at almost every turn. And we had one of the men in our church who was kind of a core member, had an affair. We watched marriages begin to fall apart. We watched people lose jobs, people be cut out of things. It just felt like our people were just hit from every single direction. And it came to a point where it felt like there was not a person in our church who was not under some form of satanic attack. And then COVID hit. And I felt like God almost gave us a moment to step back to reflect. We still continued to meet online. We began to grow even online. But when we came back after COVID, it felt like people had disengaged. Because you and I were creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit. Coming to church on a Sunday morning is a habit. We enjoy it, but it's a rhythm that we've created. And as soon as that was broken, it was almost like people fell out of the habit of getting up. They had formed new habits. They formed new habits of grabbing their coffee and watching something online and sitting in their pajamas, and new habits were being created. And so then we pulled our church back and we said, guys, it's time to start meeting together because this is not a healthy habit. It's not a healthy habit. The coming together of the saints of God, this is the healthy habit. This is what God has designed his church to be. And so when we began to come back, we noticed, okay, some had already disappeared and they weren't coming anymore. Others had fallen out of a habit of serving and engaging. It was easier now for them to just come and listen as opposed to engage and to be a part. And Ola and I, leading this church, came to a point where we began to pray and we began to ask the Lord, send us laborers. We need people to help. We had a lot of immature believers. We had a lot of not yet believers, people who are just coming to Christ. And you couldn't put them in charge of Sunday school. You couldn't put them in charge of leadership. And so we were praying that God would send us leaders. That was in the summer of 2021. And in August, I got a call that there was a Belarusian family who is being persecuted in Belarus. He was a doctor. They were starting a seminary. They were engaged in their local church. She was engaged in politics. And I'm not sure what you're aware of, but the political system right now in Belarus, it's the longest dictatorship in the world. And their president, Lukashenko, has manipulated every election. And the people are frustrated and they're angry. And he is putting political prisoners in prison for simply wearing the wrong colors, saying that they're terrorists because they're highlighting a flag that is not the Belarusian flag. It's more of a Belarusian flag of freedom, and it's not the old dictator flag. And so all of a sudden, the Belarusian pastors and leaders who were standing up against the government was being put into prison, some of them receiving sentences for 20 years, being accused of being a terrorist. And this family, the KGB had come in, stolen everything that they had, put her into prison for 2 weeks, threatened them to the point where they had to leave the country. And at midnight, I showed up at a bus stop to pick up this family. Two children, young, mom and a dad, who had went from Belarus to Ukraine in a truck that was loaded with sheep. They were literally in the back of this truck for hours so that they could escape Belarus, where they got on a bus in Ukraine and came all the way to Warsaw, and I picked them up tired, exhausted, scared, with absolutely nothing, with nothing. And our church, I thank God, loved them well. We found them apartments. We got them things for the kids. We gave them computers. We settled them in. And all of a sudden, they began to spread this word that our church was a safe place to help many other Belarusians start coming. And soon, we had a church of Polish, English speakers, Belarusians. It was this incredible expression. And the Belarusians that were coming and connecting to our church were so passionate about Jesus. One of them had planted a church in Minsk and had come to join us, him and his wife. They had absolutely nothing. And we got to see them grow in leadership within the church. We watched them settle into Warsaw. We provided for them the needs that they had, worked with the school systems for their kids, and God did something truly beautiful in that moment. You know, when the war happened in February, we had about 15 to 20 Belarusians who were a part of our church. They were all connected. And as soon as the war happened, my office turned into a command center. And these Russian speakers were networking with people on the borders of Ukraine and sending us, go get this person. You need to pick up this family of three. You need to pick up a family of two. And we need housing for a family of five. And so our church was going back and forth from the border, bringing people in, housing people, some of them not speaking any English or Polish, just the Ukrainian or the Russian language. And they were living with us for up to 3 months as they tried to find something. It was a very high pressure time. But God had already positioned our church with this whole group of Belarusians to care so well for the hurting. And we were able to love people well. And by June, this church planter, we were able to pray over and launch out a Russian-speaking church that he now leads, that's growing and focused on really helping those with the language of Ukrainian, Russian, or Belarusian to be able to grow in their faith. God has done some wonderful things. I would go on, but I wanted to kind of end our time with just one more verse. And it's a verse that is actually found in 2 Corinthians. The misunderstanding that I had as an American. Because I believed in my mind that when I was called by God and I was doing something in ministry, that somehow things would be easier. That somehow God would just open up doors and things would somehow work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What I have come to realize is that is not always the case. That when you and I engage in ministry, even after the calling of God on our lives, it is a ministry of pain and challenge and struggle and attack. And I think what God used to open my eyes to that was this simple verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says this in verse 5. And remember what we read at the beginning of this time together, this sermon. We began to read about the Macedonian call. But listen to what it says here in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 7. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. But we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fears within. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Paul had literally received a vision from God to go to Macedonia. He had been asked by someone in Macedonia, come here, serve here, we need the gospel. And his team around him said, yes, God is calling us to Macedonia. But what happened as soon as they got there? It was conflict and fighting and fear and doubt. It was persecution. And in my American mindset, I would have expected that when they got to Macedonia, the red carpet would have been rolled out for them. People would be excited that they were there. Everybody would be happy. The king of Macedonia would come to Christ. But that's not what happened. What happened was conflict and fighting on every turn. And they were tired and they were exhausted. And Paul was burnt out. I believe that there are some of you who are engaged in mission around you. It could be your marriage. It could be school. It could be work. Where you begin to think, Lord, I just want to escape. My marriage, it feels like there is fighting on the outside and there are fears within. Work, it seems like there are fightings on the outside and fears within. My school, I felt like you were calling me here. I felt like this was the right person for me. When we made our vows to you, everything was good. And there's an expectation that you and I can have that If God is in it, everything is supposed to work out easy, but it doesn't. And everything takes work, and everything is a battle. And I want to encourage you not to give up on your calling, not to give up on your marriage, not to give up on your work, not to give up on sharing the faith with those around, even when they don't want to hear it. Because we live in a culture right now that wants nothing to do with God nor the things of God. And yet you and I are still called to be stewards and missionaries in the places that we live, work, and play. And so what's the solution? Paul writes right here. He says in verse 6, "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more." The solution was deep, authentic Christian community. It was a friend. It was a friend. Every single one of us is going to face challenges in mission. Everybody's going to experience challenges in life. And what you need is a friend. A Christian, authentic friend who can walk with you through those times, who can encourage you, who can love you. And that is the power of the church. And that is why Ola and I are so blessed to be a part of your service today, because you are our Titus. You are our friend. And when we go through our challenges in Poland and we have an opportunity to come back and to worship with you and to see and experience your zeal and your passion for missions and your passions for what we're doing, and we get to experience the joy that you have, our hearts are filled. It's an amazing thing. And we are able to go back to Poland on November 14th and re-engage in the ministry that God's called us to as stewards because of you. And so Ola and I are here today to say thank you. Thank you for your partnership in our ministry. And our prayer is that you would be equipped and encouraged in your own.